Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for WEEI, brought to you by New England Recovery Center in Westboro and by Kubota Tractor and the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for WEEI Football Sunday with Andy Gresh, Christian Arcand, and Mike Cadlick. Now, WEEI Football Sunday.
This hour of WEEI Football Sunday is brought to you by Eagle Bank. Normally, we would talk to our friend Tom Curran. He's out on the golf course. Christian Foyer's got dad stuff to do in a little while, so he slides up into the Tom Curran spot and joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, proudly presented by VA New England Healthcare. Are you a veteran? VA New England Healthcare provides state-of-the-art healthcare benefits to those who served our country. Call 844-VA-CARES. Learn more about the benefits you earned and deserve. Call 844-VA-CARES. Hey, Foyer, no Sunday TV for you, friend.
No Sunday pregame show. I love it. It's about time. It's a nice little break. But we got late night TV we're going to do. So maybe we'll revisit that Thursday night game. That seems like it was like 2 weeks ago, doesn't it?
Man.
It was so long ago.
Especially after the pomp and circumstance of yesterday. And quickly, I want to start there because you were a part of it for CBS Sports Network. You were in the belly of the beast, one of the people that didn't get to talk to Robert Kraft. Just kind of your summation of the whole day and maybe some thoughts on Kraft and Belichick sort of making themselves available yesterday.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, just how fortunate they were that they just happened to have a Thursday night game and the first time ever holding this game in Gillette. I thought that was quote-unquote interesting and fortuitous, I'll put it that way. But it was a cool event. You saw Bill, you know, on ESPN with their countdown show that they do, you know, with putting the helmet on and, you know, Kraft making all the rounds. And, you know, I just thought it was cool that they were able to get this game because it's Philly doesn't want to give it up. Baltimore doesn't want to give it up. I think Kraft went really out of his way to make sure this happened. And this is, and he's been working on this for at least 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to get it, and I think everybody was happy with it. It was a really cool environment. There's people, you know, midshipmen cadets all over the place, you know, and I'm sure they're going to try and get it again because this is as close to a Super Bowl as this city will ever get. You know, not even the World Cup, I think, will kind of, you know, compare as far as, you know, the amount of people that are in town. So heard a lot of war stories, heard met a lot of generals, you know, telling war stories. And that was probably the coolest thing for me. Is just listen to some of these, you know, 4 and 5 star generals give like a recount of some of the, you know, crazy, you know, battles that they were in, something that none of us can even imagine. So that was cool.
Fourier, you heard about, I don't know, 5 minutes in the second half, Herb Street and Al Michaels talking about the Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft thing and the McAfee show on College Game Day yesterday. They brought it back up again. What did you think? You said Robert Kraft was making the rounds. What did you think of sort of the commentary around it, and what did you think of Kraft's answers or non-answers yesterday?
Well, the only one I think that's getting the most play, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, this is the only one I saw, was the whole McAfee with, you know, I feel sorry for you. I was trying to figure out, like, is that like him saying, listen, I know what you're going to do. I don't envy your position having to fire the greatest coach of all time. Is that what we're supposed to take from that? Like, I'm curious.
That's what it sounded like to me. Like, yeah. I mean, how'd you take it?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how I took it. And I was like, I'm not buying it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Bill's going anywhere. I think Bill's going to finish off his contract. I feel that more than ever after being really conflicted with it, you know, during the really like the crappy part of the season so far. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't personally. And I think McAfee, whether he has some inside information, whether, and I don't think Kraft would have said, hey, just so you know, like, we're getting rid of this guy. You can ask me about this or, you know, I don't think so at all. I don't think he's going anywhere, but hell, if Bill does decide to leave, like, he should get his ass on TV right away. Cause he's freaking good at it.
For you, I'm curious what you think of, you know, the win on Thursday for this team mixed with Belichick and Kraft being on College Game Day, being the center of attention in Foxborough yesterday. Is that going to help the Krafts make a decision on Bill at all? Do you think, you know, them winning that game and them seeing sort of the football historian, football guy that Belichick is, the respect he has across not only the league, but, you know, in college football circles as well. Like, do you think just this weekend does Belichick any favors, you know, long term for this team?
I don't think anything that he does outside of the building, outside of the stadium, has anything to do with whether or not he's always been funny. He's always been good, like, outside of the pre- and post-game show. He's always been engaged, and always. I've had my best conversations with him when I used to interview him, you know, after the red light went off. Like, that was the best part of it. Like, we, and he wouldn't leave. The red light would go back on, and we'd have to, like, we'd be, you know, I'd be out there having a talk with him, and Glenn and Lou would be carrying on with the show. So, to me, you know, that has nothing to do with it. The only thing I think they're going to take into account is his ability to coach. Do they believe he can turn it around? Do they have faith in him? That's really the only thing that I think matters. And I think what and I don't think any decision's been made yet. I don't think they're going to make any rash decisions. I'm not going to rush and just, like, look at this year or the last 4 years of any indication. But if you're looking for a sign of whether or not he'll stay, I would, you know, look at the last 4 weeks of the season and see how the players respond, because all of them should. Normally, historically, most guys say, screw it, I'm done. You know, I and with this team, they're not doing it.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I was going to ask Christian, do you think that it's not so much about the wins and losses the next 4 weeks? It's more of how the team responds. Are they in it? Maybe they do end up stealing a win along the way or whatever. Do you think it's as much about the wins and losses for Bill down the stretch, maybe relative to Kraft, or is it more about the other stuff that maybe an owner who's owned a team for 30 years would be looking for and try to see?
Well, let's just see. Like, if Kraft is willing to go the distance with Bill to make sure that he gets that record, and Bill – and there's no sign of Bill, like, being able to turn it around, man, you're going to be married to another 3-4 year process. Cause that may be how long it takes for him to get it done. If that's what's really important to you. So I don't think any of that, do I think they all want it? Of course, but I don't think they're willing to have, you know, to suffer and grind through it to get it. Cause then you just look desperate and it's just kind of pathetic. And it's obvious, like, you're only keeping him around because you wanted to break this record. I don't even think Bill would want to do that. I don't. But, you know, what the hell do I know? I know he's got 1 year left on his contract, and I don't believe that they're going to push him out the door with 1 year left on it. It makes more sense to keep him.
Well, we'll see how the rest of the year goes.
It does.
We did talk about this, and I heard you talking about it a little bit at the WEEI Key Party at the Harp on Friday. But I wanted to sort of know, with the, you know, hindsight being what it is a couple days later, any other things you noticed about the performance from Bailey Zappe? Anything you think maybe about his future with the team based off of that? Well, definitely that first half.
Listen, Bailey Zappe, not a roller coaster. Not a roller coaster. That's all that matters. Do I think that Bailey Zappe is a future quarterback of the New England Patriots? No. Do I think he'll finish off the season? Yes, unless he gets hurt, which I think is a possibility. And maybe you see Mac back in there, but I don't think Zappe is the answer. I don't think Mac is the answer. I think Zappe's probably earned himself a backup job, because it is interesting how Zappe and Bill O'Brien interact compared to how Mac and O'Brien interact. I don't know if that can be worthy of a thing, but I do think that Bill O'Brien, even though he, you know, pushed him out the door, because I'm sure Bill O'Brien had something to do with, you know, telling Bill, this ain't the guy. and then bringing him back, I do think there's a newfound respect for the other guy based on how resilient he's been this year. You know, I think Bill O'Brien respects that. And I think there's a part of that where, you know, he may just, you know, like him a little bit more now. And I guess it's waited. We'll have to wait and see.
We were debating this earlier, but we're talking about the quarterbacks now, obviously. So next season, you mentioned Zappe might have earned himself a backup role. And Kraft yesterday on game day, too, said that, you know, we want to get back to winning, and essentially we want to get back to winning soon. So is there answer a quarterback next season? Is it a veteran guy? Do they take someone in the draft? Like, what do you think they will do, and what do you think is the best course moving forward?
Man, if they have the veteran guys are going to, there's not going to be many of them out there that are actually viable, in my opinion. So if you keep the number two spot, I think they're getting another quarterback. Right. I think they kind of have to. I mean, you know, because there's no way you're keeping Mac, and if you don't have a veteran, if like Kirk Cousins says he's not coming, Kirk Cousins is still going to be in Minnesota. I don't think they're going to get rid of Kirk Cousins. So I don't know who a veteran quarterback is who, you know, we want Geno Smith. I mean, you might as well just keep Bailey Zappe if that's the case. So I think they need to restart, and that's fine. Then they're like all the other NFL teams who don't have a quarterback every 3 to 4 years going back into the draft because they don't like the one they already
Ooh,
have.
You're So basically you'd be willingly possibly signing up for 6-win seasons for we become the Houston Texans then.
Yeah, until you get it right, or you're the Buffalo Bills until you get it right, or the Miami Dolphins, or you're the Jets where you can never get it right. I mean, honest to God, I mean, even the Jacksonville Jaguars, they thought they had it with Blake Bortles. That didn't work out right. Now they think they have it with Trevor Lawrence. It's just an endless cycle in the NFL, and it's so unbelievably predictable. It happens all the time. It's just amazing. That's just life in the NFL. You find one, now you start building. Hell, we thought Mac was the guy, and I've talked to a couple of people when I was at the stadium, and the one thing that we were just comparing quarterbacks in the draft, and I said Caleb Williams or Drake May, and the guy that was, you know, on the field was like, Drake May is helps you sleep at night, but Caleb Williams' ceiling is best to ever do it. And I was like, you're telling me that Caleb Williams' ceiling is the best that will ever do it, so he's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? No, you're exaggerating even that. I don't believe that. That's unrealistic in itself. So even putting that on a guy like Caleb Williams is almost like irresponsible. There's not a chance in hell you're going to be Tom Brady. Try to be, you know, I don't know, like Drew Brees. Use that as your guy. Don't use Tom Brady. So we'll see what happens.
Fourier, there's a Patriots free Sunday here, so I want to ask you, who is the biggest disappointment? Which team is the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year? Other than the Patriots.
Wow, the Buffalo Bills.
Wait, do you consider them the biggest disappointment in the league, though?
Well, based on like where I have them, I mean, listen, the gap between being making the playoffs and being and having the number two pick in the draft is freaking remarkably disappointing for me. Absolutely. Based on how we thought it was going to go. But after them, the Bills are a massive disappointment. They have infighting. They have massive issues with their coach. Their coach is being dragged through the mud. They're going to probably like their offensive coordinator is getting a lot of heat. Josh Allen looks like the guy that you were worried about when he's coming out of Wyoming. Like all those things are coming together. It's like, holy crap. Like you're so far away from that, you know, 21 points in 15 seconds when you played against the Chiefs and everyone thought you were going to just naturally just, you know, evolve into like the Chiefs. It's not happening. I actually look at that team and I go, man, is Sean Dermott state? Is he safe? Is that a team where you say, listen, we've only gone so far. Like maybe we should, you know, change there. I think that's on the table too.
Has anyone ever in a team meeting said anything as wild or made an analogy as wild as Sean McDermott's was 4 years ago?
No. And I'm amazed. Like there wasn't somebody in the back, like making facial expressions and waving their hands and saying, no, abort, abort. This is terrible. It's like, it's just, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to like, you know, really kind of twist it and like really, you know, get their attention, you know, and just the analogy, just certain things you shouldn't use as an analogy, you know, and like, that's one of them, you know? So listen, and that's my point. When I saw that, I'm like, gosh, if he doesn't, he's got to win. He's got to win because, you know, it's looking like he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I know Gresh is a huge fan of Sean McDermott. It's like one of his favorite coaches.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's one of his favorite. You know, the hard-o, your wrestling coach that wants to fight everybody and wrestle them.
Exactly. He might be wrestling for a job next year. Who knows?
Yeah, I think he will.
All right, Foyer, enjoy the day. Stay out of the flood area, and hopefully we can all find our way in here tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm going to go win a basketball, a sixth grade basketball team. Let's go. Let's go.
Go get him. Let's go. All right, friend, go get him. All right, there goes our guy Christian Foyer with us on the Harbor One Hotline, brought to us by the Department of Veteran Affairs. Reverend Arcan has something next. It's not a preview, but he's got some kind of sermon. And
don't miss it.
You will get it next from the Reverend. Here he is, ready to tread.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guys, this is WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
All right, good morning, congregation. It is I, the Reverend Arcan, here for another sermon on this Sunday. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, there's no game to preview today.
No.
So we're going to do something a little bit different here, Brother Gresh, Brother Cadlick, and Brother Joseph back behind the glass. We are going to do something that I think is long overdue, by the way. We're going to see which one of you two knows more about football. We're going to have a little battle of the brains here on the Sunday morning, Sunday service between Gresh and Cadlick. Now, there are two categories here, and they both have to do with this season of NFL football.
All right.
You can do general NFL or the Patriots. I have eight questions each, so this could end in a tie. If it does, we'll get to a tiebreaker.
So right. Church turned into a game show?
Is now a game show. It's like Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers. I don't know if you guys watch Righteous Gemstones, but that's basically what this is. That was my inspiration for this. And Gresh, it's your show, so go ahead and pick. Do you want Patriots or NFL for your first question?
I mean, I guess I'll go, you know what? I'll go curveball. I'll go NFL for the first
NFL
question.
NFL for the first question. All right, you get a first crack at it. If you miss it, then Brother Cadlick here can try and steal. So here is question number one, general NFL. In week two, Travis Kelce passed this Hall of Famer turned media member for fourth most receptions by a tight end all time.
Fourth by a tight end all time.
Yes.
Let's see, because there's Gonzalez, there's Shannon Sharp, there's does Olsen count? I'm trying to think.
Nice.
Oh, well done. I didn't expect this in church. I don't know. I guess I'll go Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez, final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Incorrect, Brother Gresh. Cadlick, what do you think it is?
Fourth all-time.
Fourth all-time. He passed him to be fourth all-time. This guy's now fifth all-time.
Because I know Gonzalez and Sharp are in there.
I feel like Gonzalez is first, though.
I kind of think so, too, which would mean Shannon Sharp would be second.
I'm going to...
You know what? I now know the answer, I would say.
I'm going to go with Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp is... correct.
Let's go.
Cadlick with the steal.
I was going to go with Antonio Gates upon thinking about it.
Is he media?
That's the thing. He is in media, though.
No, because he can't speak. let's go ahead. And Cadlick, you have control of the board. Patriots or NFL?
We'll go Pats.
Pats. All right. First Pats question here. The only Patriot to win an in-season award this year, so far anyway, is who?
Christian Gonzalez.
Christian Gonzalez. Rookie of the month is correct. That is correct. So there's
pretty
two
easy
for Cadlick.
One.
Yeah.
All right. Next Give one, Patriots or NFL?
I'll go Patriots.
Gresh is going to go Patriots. This will be the first time the Patriots have had back-to-back losing seasons since these two seasons, Gresh.
Oh, my God. It would have been 92-93. Like, yeah, the 92-93-93-94 season.
Is correct. That
there
is correct.
Go.
Very good. Andy Gresh.
That's how they end up with Bledsoe.
Yeah. Got it with the 92-93. All right. Cadillac leads 2-1. You control the board, Gresh. What do you want?
Me?
Oh, no. It's Cadillac's turn.
I'm sorry, Cadillac. Yeah. You control the board. Yeah. What do you want?
We'll go back to the NFL.
Back to the NFL. Okay. Aside from Tom Brady, name one other player who retired this offseason.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Oh, God. J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt is correct.
Let's go. I knew it because they talked about them going in the Hall of Fame together.
He got one. All right. Gresh, go ahead and pick.
I thought that might have been a retirement paper question, and we would have gotten like, well,
yeah,
he's kind
we
of retired,
yeah.
But... I guess I'll go NFL.
NFL, okay. In week 9, this guy became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw 3 touchdown passes in consecutive weeks while playing for 2 different teams.
Oh, my God. For 2 different teams.
Which quarterback am I talking about?
I am totally blanking. So... 2 different teams in the same season.
Cadillac lit up at this question.
Yeah,
I think
he knew
ready,
it.
He's ready
yeah,
for
yeah,
the steal if you don't
steal
have it.
Go ahead.
You don't
want
to take their time?
I don't know. No, I'm like trying to process through it. And I'm thinking of like all of the guys. I'm trying to think of who would have been. Like, I know there was somebody that got traded and then they. I can't remember who it is.
He's so close. You can't get there. Cadillac for the steal.
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs is correct. Dobbs. It is Josh Dobbs.
Damn it.
With the Cardinals.
To the Vikings.
Filling in for Calamari, and then he went over to Minnesota.
You knew it.
I got to learn my fourth string quarterbacks better in the league. Good Lord.
All right, Patriots or NFL, Cadillac?
We'll go Pats. We'll go back to the Pats.
Back to the Pats. The Patriots drafted 3 offensive linemen this year. What order were they picked in?
Ooh. Ooh,
I got
that's
a better
good.
Chance. I know this.
I think it's... Jake Andrews is first.
Jake Andrews was first at 107, yes.
And it's... Oh, man, I forget what order. I think it's... Is it Mafi then So? That's my answer. Andrews, Mafi, So.
That is incorrect. That is incorrect. Gresh, would you like to steal?
Andrew So and Mafi.
Andrew So and Mafi. There we go. Sounds like a law firm.
I was just kidding. Sounds
all
like
right.
something.
Yeah. Gresh, you're on the board there with a steal and a chance to get within 1 point. Woo. Patriots or NFL?
I'll go Patriots.
Patriots. Okay. This game, which the Patriots lost by 35 points, was the worst loss of Bill Belichick's head coaching career.
Oh, it's Dallas.
The Dallas game is correct. Right. There's a couple of easy
that
ones.
That was a good layup in there.
That was
Thank
a layup
you.
Day. He I'll had a layup
that.
Earlier,
I think
so
yeah.
I figured I'd even it out. All right, Cadillac, you're up by 1. The Patriots or NFL?
All right. We'll go back to the NFL.
Back to the NFL. The Chiefs lost to this team on opening night.
Oh, the Lions.
The Lions is correct.
How about that? And they're showing some rah-rah-rah St. Brown up there, too, on the... Because the Lions have kind of started to slide a little bit. Well, injuries to their D-line has hurt
I thought that would be harder because I was looking back over the schedule and was like, oh, yeah, they played the Lions in week 1. Yeah. And he just knew it right off
I
the
just
top.
Remember it was a weird one.
it was a weird game. That's true. All right. Gresh, NFL, Patriots?
NFL.
All right. In week 12, this defensive back set the record for most interception returns for touchdowns in a season with 5 of them. Which defensive back is that?
Damn it. 5 in a season.
Yes.
Good Lord. See, my instant reaction was going to be Jalen Ramsey because it's one that I remembered. I don't know. There was the Whitehead dude from the Jets, but that was... that's probably the answer, damn it. All right, I'll go with Whitehead against the Jets.
Whitehead against the Jets?
Yeah.
That
or Whitehead for the Jets, I should say.
Whitehead for the Jets is wrong. Cadillac, can you steal this one?
It is Cowboys cornerback Deron Bland.
That is correct. It is Deron Bland.
Wow.
Deron Bland. And he had one of those against the Patriots.
Or did
he have 2 against the Patriots?
He did?
He at least had 1.
I think he just had the 1. There was 2 interceptions, 1 pick 6.
Yep.
I believe is how that one went. All right, Cadillac now leads 6-3.
Ooh.
He's running away with this one. You want Patriots or NFL here, Cadillac?
Let's do NFL.
NFL, okay. This season... Both Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson hit the 5,000 career rushing yards mark, joining these 2 quarterbacks who had already done it. Who are the 2 quarterbacks who had already cleared 5,000 yards?
One of them's Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is correct.
The other one is probably before your time, be my guess. Unless I'm wrong.
I have 2 thoughts, and I think it's one of them.
Steve Grogan.
I'm going to go
Douglas.
With... I'm going to go with
Gino Capoletti.
Fran Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton is incorrect.
Ah. Okay.
Vic is one of them. Can you name the other one? Gresh the Steel. This would be a big steal for you.
I'm going to say Randall Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham is wrong.
My other guess was Steve Young.
The other one was Cam Newton.
Damn it.
We were looking for Cam Newton.
Now I want to look up how many career rushing yards Randall Cunningham had. Am I completely way off? Because Cam Newton would make total sense.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity.
That's right. One where you overthink it a little bit.
Okay, I believe it is Gresh's turn. Gresh, Patriots or NFL?
Let's go Patriots.
Okay, these two Patriots are tied for the team lead in interceptions with two each.
Christian Gonzalez is one of them, I think, even though he's hurt, I think. And let's see, who would have gotten two picks? Not Peppers, not Mills, not Phillips. Jonathan Jones. It's probably a linebacker. And so I'm going to go, I don't know, Gonzalez and Tavai? I don't know.
That is wrong. Both of those are wrong.
Damn.
Both of those are wrong. Gonzalez is wrong. And Tavai is wrong. Cadillac, you can steal.
When you said linebacker, my eyes lit up because I thought it was Tavai. It's Jabril Peppers, I believe, is one.
Jabril Peppers is one of them. That's correct.
And the other one is Kyle Duggar?
Kyle Duggar is correct. Ooh. Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers.
Couple safeties.
Currently lead the team.
All
right.
With two interceptions each. And
by
there
the way,
you go.
Randall Cunningham, 4,928.
No. Oh, wow.
That's so awesome. He was just short.
Wow. Just short.
God dang.
Damn.
Too bad. All right. Cadillac, where do you want to go?
All right. What was that, Patriots? We'll do back to the NFL.
Back to the NFL. In April, this team and First Energy Corporation agreed to end their stadium naming rights following the company's involvement in a nuclear bribery scandal.
Oh.
I think that's...
Is that a big deal?
Big deal, no big deal.
Yeah, right? Bribery scandal? What?
Bribery scandal.
First Energy, I think.
Isn't that college football now? Isn't just everybody getting bribed?
Yeah. Cleveland. The Browns.
Cleveland Browns is correct. It was the Cleveland Browns. Very good. All right, that gives it back to Gresh. You want NFL or do you want Patriots?
I'll go NFL.
Okay. This was the interim coach in Indianapolis between Frank Reich and Shane Steichen.
Was it Matt? No, it couldn't have been Eberflus because he was already in... Jeff Saturday.
Jeff Saturday.
It took me a minute there. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Tried to sneak that one past you.
Yeah, right. No, that was good.
Gresh back on the board now. Still has some work to do if
Jeff
he wants
Saturday,
to catch up
Jeff Saturday, a wonderful guy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
My in-laws have a place down in Amelia Island, Florida, and he's like three buildings over.
Oh, really?
They have one of these 4th of July deals or whatever, and everybody's doing the parade. Yeah. All of a sudden, I turn and look, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Jeff Saturday standing
there.
That's
pretty cool.
He's like, yeah, I've been here forever. Rich people.
All right, we got two Patriots questions left and one NFL question left, Cadillac.
We'll go Patriots.
Patriots, all right. This Patriot leads the league in leads the team in tackles.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Devon Gotcha.
Oh, I'm going to go with Kyle Duggar, but I'm not confident in it.
Kyle Duggar is incorrect. Gresh, you can steal.
I'll go Juwan Bentley.
Juwan Bentley is also incorrect. He was mentioned earlier. It's Jelani Tavai, and he has one more tackle than Bentley.
Oh. Ah!
So there you go. No one gets that one. All right, we have two questions left. One Patriots, one NFL. Gresh, what do you want?
But Tavai jumped off sides more and not been called for
than
Juwan Bentley. I guess I'll go Patriots.
Patriots, okay. The Patriots lost these two wide receivers in free agency in the offseason.
Ooh.
Who are the
they
two?
Lost yeah. two?
The two that flew away.
The two that got away. Oh, I have. Dear
you
Lord.
You got to know one of them.
One of them has been talked about a lot this year.
One of them has been talked.
We certainly talked about him one of these weeks, yes.
I definitely put this out of my head.
Mac Jones probably really misses him.
Oh, Myers. Yeah.
Myers, okay. I don't know why I'm helping
after
you.
That.
Okay, it's all right.
No, you already won anyway.
I know the other
Myers
one.
Was the low-hanging fruit. I don't remember the other one. I don't know. Who is it?
Giving
okay.
It is,
Kembrell Tompkins. I don't
nope.
know.
Cadillac?
It is Ravens wide receiver Nelson Aguilar.
That is correct. It's Jacoby Myers and Nelson Aguilar. And here we go, the final question.
I couldn't wait for Aguilar to go, I guess.
Yeah.
So I put it out of my mind,
forget
but
about
holy
it.
Cow.
This is the last question, so we'll just make it a toss-up.
Yeah,
first
yeah.
one to shout out the answer all wins. Right. This year, ESPN Plus exclusively streamed an international game featuring a youth-oriented alternate broadcast on Disney+, a live animated version of the game between the Falcons and Jaguars portrayed by characters from this movie.
Toy Story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Toy Story is correct.
Callie was all over that. I've never seen Toy Story at all. I've never had a reason to.
Cadillac wins in a rout.
Yeah. That's fine.
There you go. Nice job.
I'm not a movie guy to begin with, but that whole Toy Story thing, like, I was asking for context and clarity on how it all worked.
When we were sitting here that
morning. Yeah, because I didn't get it. Yeah, we had it on that morning. I'm like, what does that mean? Had no idea. I also forgot about Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
What kind of numbers has he put up?
He's been good. He has like three times. Remember he did like a backflip in the end zone or something? Like he's been doing pretty well there. Yeah. It's unfortunate. And Jonnu Smith has been awesome too.
Yeah, Aguilar's year is 20 catches, 282 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
282 yards?
Yeah, 200.
Not a lot of yards, but it's a lot more touchdowns than anybody's got here.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
like
what did he do last year? Let's see. Here last year, it was 31 catches for 362 and 2. And there he's at 282 and 3. Although it does look like Aguilar has not started a bunch of games there, whereas clearly here he was starting. Can you believe that Aguilar, in his last year in Vegas, went 48 catches, 896, and 8 touchdowns.
That's why you got paid here.
Yeah.
Way too much money.
Good grief. Well, that was a fun exercise. We might have to keep doing that, considering these. I know we'll have a game next Sunday, but nobody will believe that the Patriots have a chance in it against Kansas City. Although, Kansas City is, and I know we're going to get to the games later on.
There's also some teams we've scouted already. So maybe on one of the repeat week, against the Jets or
good.
Something like that. We can
I like
back.
It.
Yeah.
But Kansas City is in an interesting spot. They lose, but they come home after a loss, but they're playing Buffalo.
Yep.
And Josh Allen, I think, has said after playing up in Orchard Park, the next place he loves to play is in Arrowhead. So
plays well there, too.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those what gives situations, because if you're the Bills, your back's clearly up against the wall and your coach is under fire. And if you're Kansas City, well, you lost a game. Normally you don't lose two in a row.
This Bills-Chiefs has become my favorite new NFL rivalry. Every time they play, I love watching the two play because, Allen and Mahomes, clearly some respect for one another. They always play well against each other. You go back to that, 13 seconds game in the playoffs, and it's just – I'm looking forward to this one. It's a good rivalry that's sort of budded over the last couple of years.
Now, I'm trying to see. So the Kansas City has lost two of their last three. Didn't expect them to lose to Green Bay, although they did catch Jordan Love on a bit of a heater. Past five games, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
Wonder how far back you have to go to see Kansas to find if Kansas City has lost consecutive games in a row, and especially with one of those being home. There's got to be some numbers out there on that. We are keeping an eye on inactives, and I know that normally this is where we would bring you the Catches Law Injury Report, the injury update sponsored by the Catches Law Group, the official law firm of the New England Patriots, where you pay nothing unless Catches wins at CatchesLaw.com. Couple things on the Patriots. You did have Trent Brown rotating a left tackle with Connor McDermott. We know that T.J. Watt left the game. It's funny, T.J. Watt got crowned on the first play of the game under the chin, came back in, said he was a little woozy or whatever, couldn't maybe see straight. They kept playing him. Now he's in concussion protocol.
Weird.
Yeah. Boy, it is.
Funny,
you're right, Arkan.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought that a team would have been like, no, you're okay.
Glad the league's taking this seriously, yeah.
You want to go back in there, go back in there. Yeah, you know what? It's really funny, Arkan, you kind of joke like that, because doesn't that really what it comes down to? Like, if the player raises his hand and is like, yo, I can't see straight, that's fine. Or it's, hey, give me the smelling salts. I can see enough. You just don't admit it to him, and you run yourself back in the game. I guess depending on how much of a hardo you really are.
Derek Carr, he had a concussion. He's trying to play today, too.
They're
expecting him to go.
From the Patriots' end, relatively healthy. I don't think anybody else got really, truly dinged up in the game. And in terms of the big injury today that people were keeping an eye on that would have a fantasy impact, looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to be up for Jacksonville today, but they showed him walking on the sidelines, and he don't look right. Like, that's one of those where if you're in fantasy and you're playing Lawrence because you have to, then you have to. But we also got to remember Christian Kirk got hurt in that game last week for Jacksonville, and even if Lawrence is upright, losing Kirk is massive for him.
Yeah, that's that offense still has Ridley and, the good running game with Etienne. And, I think that they'll probably be okay so long as Lawrence doesn't really hurt himself. But losing Kirk is huge. He's one of the more underrated receivers, I'd say, in the whole league.
Agreed.
And he's been a real real security blanket all throughout, even in that bad year when, what's his name, the Jackass
Urban.
Was over there coaching him. Yeah, Urban Meyer. But, yeah, that's a tough loss for them. And, you know, this is one of those games. I mean, it's Cleveland, who's also, you know, got Joe Flacco starting a quarterback. I have no idea what to expect in this
Some
game.
Of these quarterback matchups yeah. today, good Lord.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that whole, the Jacksonville thing, too, is interesting because, you know, big game for them. They're 8-4 playing against Cleveland, who you mentioned. Joe Flacco starting, but a hell of a defense and a quarterback who isn't going to be able to move. They're literally just going to have to snap the ball and throw. He's not going to be able to get around in the pocket. So you wonder how fast, if he re-injures himself against that, you know, that Browns defensive front, like that's, I'm not saying they should sit him down because I don't, their backup is like, what was the kid from Iowa? Was it CJ Beathard?
Oh yeah.
So like
Bobby Beathard's grandson.
Yeah. So I don't know how much I like that for them, but you got to be careful with Lawrence in this spot.
Well, and I also think weather is a massive factor everywhere today. I know in Baltimore, they're going to get some. Jaguars are playing in Cleveland. I don't know if that storm is necessarily going to ding them there yep. as well. So weather could end up being a factor with Lawrence. He's moving around pretty good. So you got to figure that A, he took care of it, or B, maybe it wasn't so bad, or drugs are good.
Yeah,
there's
right.
a doll shot that he can take that will end up helping Trevor Lawrence kind of get through this game. We'll take a peek at some of the other inactives, let you know if there's anything else from a fantasy-wise standpoint that you need to know, and then we're going to start to look ahead towards the games of this week in the NFL. They are not great. We also have to have a discussion, at least early on with a month out here, on all of the directions the Patriots could go at the end of the season. We will get to all that coming up on WEEI Football Sunday.
We are right back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
Giggity Midnight Q. This has a Midnight Q feel to it, I'll tell you that, for those of you who like Family Guy. It is WEEI Football Sunday. We will get into all of the different roads that the Crafts or the Patriots could go down at the end of the year. But let's slide back to college for a moment here, gents, because yesterday, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy. And, of course, it was a for those who do follow college football, you get to see Brian Kelly peacock around as if he actually did something this year other than collect $10 million in a place where it's really, really cheap to live.
And a bunch of weird videos that he put out.
I mean, yeah. it is something that guy.
They're yeah. spinning around.
And yeah. all those guys, I mean, it's like 71-year-old Nick Saban out there trying to sling the lingo of the youngs and all that whatnot. Good grief. But Jaden Daniels ended up winning the Heisman. Michael Penix, the quarterback of Washington, ended up second in that Heisman voting. And, gentlemen, thus begins the quarterback college evaluations. And I almost feel bad for Jaden Daniels because, unfortunately, I think there will be a lot of folks who don't dig in on him that will just use the, well, if you're the Heisman winner, you can't be that good in the pros. And unfortunately for that kid, I hope that there aren't just a lot of people out there that just sort of say that. Look at him and fairly evaluate the guy and don't kind of hold the Heisman against him. Because even I really wondered if he was going to win it. I thought there was a chance because Washington made it to the college football playoff Arcan that Penix might steal this thing.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance maybe, but you know, once that all sort of went down the way it did, it kind of seemed like it was a foregone conclusion. And listen, not every Heisman winner is bad. Derrick Henry was a good pro. Lamar Jackson, like there's been even recently, Burrow was a Heisman winner. Like
that's true.
You've got examples of Heisman winners who went on to be good. And it depends, I think, on how blue chip of a prospect you are. And I don't know that you know, I like him, but I don't know that Daniels is a blue chip prospect. I think he's a good college player, and he may sort of fall into that bucket because sometimes you know you're just a great college player, and it doesn't carry over. Sometimes it's just you're the man and it's going to be good for you no matter where you go, no matter what team you get drafted to. I sort of feel like, you know, Devontae Smith, you kind of felt like wherever he went, he'd make an impact. He's been tremendous for the Eagles so far, you know, and Henry and, you know, guys like that. I just sort of feel like there's every once in a while you sort of just look at the guy and you think, all right, whatever happens, this guy is going to be fine.
Right.
I don't know. I feel that way about Daniels.
I'm with you.
I like Jaden Daniels as a prospect. Again, I don't think he should be the first overall pick. And maybe, like you said, Gresh, that sort of that Heisman, while it may defer teams, it also, you might look at the guy and say, well, you're the best player in college football. You deserve to be the number one overall pick. And I don't think it's going to go that far. I think it's probably still Caleb Williams as a lock. But, you know, relating it back to the
Did he even get a vote, by the way? Because he won it last year.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Did he get one vote this year?
I don't think so. No. But the only release, I think it's the top five. Okay. Yeah. I'll dig in and see.
No, because I saw J.J. McCarthy got a first-place
vote.
He got a first-place vote. I saw some crazy article on that. But, Daniels, again, like, he's going to, and they're going to evaluate him, and he's going to get, you know, top five looks in these mock drafts and, you know, things like that, because he can throw the football. He's obviously a very talented runner. He's a little on the thinner side, so you're going to want to see him put on some weight to try and take on some of those NFL hits. But, I mean, I don't want to compare him to Lamar Jackson, but the way that he can sort of play, couple reads, whatever you want to do, and then, you know, kind of tuck it and run it. That's huge in this league. And I look at, too, he's a veteran in college. Like, he's 24, 20, I think he's almost 25 years old, if I'm correct. So, like, people gravitate towards that as well. You look at Baker Mayfield, ended up as the number one overall pick because he played in college for a while and he understands an offense. And, you know, both him and Jaden Daniels moved from program to program and had succeeded elsewhere. So if you can take on a couple different offenses, it shows you understand the game.
You
as
know
well.
What?
Jaden Daniels is about to turn
22. Turned 22.
Oh, so he's even a little bit younger.
So it's not going to get held against him.
Right.
Like one of the things that was used against Malik Cunningham was that if someone did like him as a quarterback, it would be tough to fully invest in him because he turned 25, I think.
Sure.
I think either Malik Cunningham is on the doorstep or might be just a frog hair older than Mac, believe it or not.
Oh, interesting.
It's crazy. They're very similar in age. But Arcan, good pull by you. So the top 10 in the Heisman voting went Jaden Daniels, Penix, Bo Nix of Oregon was third.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Harrison was fourth. Jordan Travis of Florida State, the kid who got hurt, was fifth. And then it was Jalen Milroe of Alabama, Ollie Gordon the second of Oklahoma
State.
He's the
running back, right? Yeah.
He is a nice little runner. Cody Schrader from Missouri. Pick that guy out of the lineup. Blake Corum from Michigan. And then J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. So the Heisman winner from the year before, and I'll even go by what Fourier told us earlier in the hour, somebody there that, you know, has a football mind is like, oh, well, this guy might be able to be the greatest that ever do it. That's his ceiling. He wins the Heisman last year and doesn't even get a vote this year.
And he's still the consensus number one overall pick.
What a drop off. Although I really do start to wonder about that. If people start to dig in on, because here's the thing that I know about these two guys from a personality standpoint. Drake May has kind of been bred for this moment. If you know anything about his family, about his dad, this is almost the kind of culmination of the way he was raised and brought up. And it wasn't like Marv Marinovich, Todd Marinovich
type
stuff.
I was going to say, like, I don't love that.
No.
Yeah. I don't love the whole father.
This isn't like Drake has never had a Twinkie until he's gone to college or anything like that.
Right.
This is much more of like a concerted effort. The family's a part of it. The old man is with it. He knows what he's doing. And,
His brother played basketball at UNC as well.
Bingo. There you go. Like and then you have Caleb Williams, who at one point this year when they were undefeated, was talking about wanting a stake of ownership in whichever NFL team that drafted him. And then he got to the point where he wasn't even answering questions in press conferences after games.
Yeah.
So I do wonder when people dig in how much of Drake May's background will be, oh, you're perfect because the owners will see this polished product. Whereas with Caleb Williams, there's going to be a lot of wild opinions on it.
There's an interesting subset of athletes actually in that North Carolina area you talk about. So I wrote a feature on Will Grier earlier this season, and I spoke with his dad, Will Grier's father, and Sam Howell, Will Grier, and then Drake May. They're all from the same like area in Charlotte, and they mentioned
they backed up Howell, didn't they?
I believe so. Yeah, he did.
Carolina,
he backed him up, and so like that sort of subset of that area in like the Charlotte area, a couple good athletes coming out of there. And you're right. I mean, not that they groom them like Marinovich, but they care about football down there, and those, you know, that kind of I guess those three families sort of like run that area as far as athletics go, the Greers, the Mays, and the Howells.
It's
so
really
it's pretty
weird.
Interesting. Yeah,
it is.
But I do look too as far as like as a prospect, and Drake May, he kind of reminds me of, I don't want to say completely Mac Jones, but he's sort of, and he's more of an athlete than Mac, but he's still sort of a standstill quarterback pocket passer who needs a lot of help around him. He had that receiver there at North Carolina. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I think I want kind of a more of an athlete at the position for the Patriots when it's all said and done.
Well, that gets us to sort of the roads that the Patriots have in front of them here for the next couple of weeks. We know that Bill Belichick's going to try to win games, but then there is the, what if you keep Bill? What if you don't keep Bill? How do you then do the roster? What do you then sell out for? Does Robert Kraft have ideas? Is Jonathan Kraft the one that's going to call all the shots? All the options in front of the Patriots we will get through next on WEEI Football Sunday.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.